Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and this show covers stock market investing through the millennial lens. What we like to say is this isn't your dad's stock market, and it's certainly not your granddad's. This is a millennial market, and it requires millennial tools if you want to excel, if you want to continue to protect capital but still capture upside. Creating alpha. Now, we're going to come at you every day. I'm going to be here every day from 12 to 12:30, sharing with you information directly off of our trading desk that focuses on the interaction between traditional fundamental analysis and millennial execution. So we're going to start every show by going over news of the day and showing you how we look at it different using our algorithms as our guide. The idea is to reduce the noise and help you manage your investments through a lens of reward versus risk, as opposed to the traditional fear versus greed, which is perpetuated by financial news media and your inbox and Twitter and what have you. And then what we're going to do is focus today on the question of Bitcoin versus, you know, blockchain from an investor's point of view. When I say Bitcoin, that's kind of like a catch-all for cryptocurrency and you know, investing in that space, or focusing on blockchain as the real investment opportunity. And the bottom line here is we believe blockchain is the real investment opportunity, and we have one particular stock in mind for you to focus on. I'll share that with you later. But let's just flesh out a little bit what we mean when we say the millennial lens. First of all, the Armor Report. Armor stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. Algorithmic Risk Management Research. And if you think about, you know, the number one tool in the millennial market from our standpoint are algorithms. And the reason they're so important is that, as we say, this market is dramatically different than markets of the past. I'm Generation X, okay? So I'm trying to help the baby boom generation come together with the millennial generation. There's value in the fundamental investment approach, you know, that is so common in investing and has been for decades and is something that is revered by the baby boomers. And at the same time, there is equal value in the tools of today, the millennial tools of today, when whether it has to do with execution or decision-making processes. Your dad and your granddad did not have to deal with the massive amount of information flow on a second-by-second basis that you do as an investor. And for baby boomers listening to the show, you know, you may be caught in this vortex of trying to understand how to run money today when you are hearing so much, you know, from one standpoint, negative news on a literally second-by-second basis. And this is what trips investors up, to the fear-greed response. You know, my dad taught me everything I, you know about fundamental investing. And I remember growing up, my dad worked on Wall Street, who was an analyst for years, who wrote research reports. He would come home every night. I'd run down that street when he got off the bus. I'd give him a big hug as a kid. And he would have this briefcase stuffed full of research reports. And he'd spend all night. He'd been working all day. He'd spend all night reading research reports. He'd spend all weekend watching football, reading research reports. That's how he got his fundamental information. Then he'd get on the phone all day, talk to management teams, and develop an action plan, gather information. Okay, that world is over. I get tons of research reports into my email box every day. If you're on Twitter, tons of information coming through. You watch financial news networks. It's just a cacophony of information that can really upset the apple cart for investors today. It's too much information coming in. So then how do you determine which piece of information is accurate, is necessary to pay attention to, and which is just noise? Well, the answer is the millennial tool of algorithms. Algorithms are ubiquitous now when it comes to execution from an institutional standpoint. Everything we do on our trading desk here is algorithmic based. So what we do is we take information that's coming in from all sides, which is, by the way, designed to create panic, whether it be greed, whether it be fear. And if you're executing on that panic in either direction, I guarantee you're underperforming when it comes to the investment process. And then so some people, I know a lot of people just turn it all off and say, well, I'm just going to buy and hold the market. It always goes up and I'll be okay. And of course, that's a tragic mistake. If that was a decision you made in 2007, by the end of 2008, your portfolio was in, down over 50%, your net worth. And for certainly the baby boom generation, you can't afford to have that happen. And we never know when that'll happen again. Please don't fall into this time as the different argument, right? So it will happen again. So what you have to do is you need to incorporate millennial tools. And that's what the algorithmic risk management research report's all about. On our trading desk, we have algorithms written. And now I'm going to give you some examples of how this works. We have algorithms written for the big indexes, the S&P 500, NASDAQ 100, the Dow 30, small cap index, and even the mid cap index. And that basically covers the U.S. equity markets. And we use those algorithms as a guide to tell us when we want to have risk on and when we want to reduce risk or have risk off. In fact, on our website, you can follow this along on a real-time basis. The website's rosenthalcapital.com. And we have on that site what we call the real-time ARMA report risk-on, risk-off monitor. And we update that as quickly as we can if there's major changes in our algorithms. And you can see right now on the website that we've been risk on the S&P since the 5th of July. So this gets to the, and not just the S&P, the other indexes as well have been risk on. And occasionally they come off, we book profits, we look for re-entry points. The S&P has been on right through the entire July, August, September period. Now, if you think about that, what's been going on during that period? Well, the equity markets have, just this week are making new highs for the year, new all-time highs. And yet the news stories in the last 3 months have been, to say the least, scary. What we hear every day on CNBC and these other channels is that we hear constant turmoil on Capitol Hill. We hear constant chatter that Donald Trump's presidency is in tatters. We hear most recently today, I'm hearing guys talk about rising rates and how that's going to derail the market, right? We hear trade talk, right? That's been the biggest issue. That's been the biggest issue to keep you off your game as an investor in the last 3 months. We have a trade war with China. That's like every single day from every news source. It's in your inbox, it's on CNBC, it's on Twitter. Trade issues, trade problems, bad for the market. Yet the market's making all-time new highs, and so are we here on our trading desk. All right, our net worth this year is making new highs this week, right along with the market. So algorithms help us stay the course right now in the midst of all the bad news that you hear every day. Will those pieces of bad news eventually become bad enough to reverse the market? Absolutely. Absolutely. But what we do here, and what my hockey coach used to tell me in high school, is you need to read and react as a goaltender. Right? I played hockey in high school. I was a goalie. Okay? And it's read and react. You can't guess where the puck is going to go. You got to read and react. So we read our algorithms, and we look at the market from a risk-reward standpoint, and we put capital to work, and we care not what we hear every day. We care not about all of the fear-mongering and trade wars, and we just put capital to work. And we also, of course, use the algorithms for individual equity investments as well. So let me give you another example of when news matters. On the 15th of August, those of you already following the Armor Report and receiving it in your email box, we put out a report that our algorithms were telling us to be long in an aggressive way the cannabis space, the marijuana stocks. Now, they were trading at, if you look at the best, let me take a step back. All of our algorithms, unless I tell you otherwise, are being run on exchange-traded funds, ETFs. Now, we do have algorithms for individual stocks, and when we're talking about individual names, I'll let you know. But up until then, when I'm talking about algorithms, I'm not talking about futures or options or any of those things. I'm just talking about trading and investing in exchange-traded funds. It's another millennial tool that you didn't have, and you know your dad never had the opportunity to buy ETFs. But they're a wonderful tool, a wonderful way to put capital to work in a risk-adjusted way. So on August 15th, our algorithms are telling us, get long the weed stocks, and we're buying MJ. Mary Jane, that's the symbol, MJ, for the marijuana stocks. And on that day, we had a major announcement, a piece of news came out. Constellation Brands, major beverage company, is investing another $4 billion into a cannabis stock called Canopy. So when do we know when news is important to react to? When it dovetails with the millennial execution tool of algorithms. And so we're buying MJ at 27. Today the stock is trading above 40. It's been as high as, I think, 46, 47 in 5 weeks. And of course, we all know what happened to individual stocks inside of MJ, right? You can go look at MJ. There's a great website, ETF.com. It tells you everything you need to know about ETFs. You can go into ETF.com. You can put in MJ as the symbol. You can pull up what's in that ETF, and that's where you start doing your research. You go look at the top 5 or 10 names in an ETF and do your research there. It helps you really break down the space. But so there's an example. There's two examples. We have the example of the cacophony of bad news stories in the last 3 months having to do with trade or rising interest rates or the Donald Trump presidency that can keep you off your game, that can keep you in cash, that can make you think the market's topping. And yet we're aggressively long the market. We have risk on everywhere because our algorithms tell us stay long the market. And then the flip side is you've got the marijuana stocks that have been underperforming for a year. I mean, they were trading at the year low back on the 15th of August. But you get a watershed event and a major piece of news. How do you know that's important? You look at the algorithm and it says put the capital to work because the rewards is worth the risk. And that's something to understand. When I talk about algorithms, there's many different kinds of algorithms. On our trading desk, we use statistics and probabilities to help us get on the right side of reward versus risk. We incorporate stop losses on every position that we take. So theoretically, we know what our risk is every time you put capital to work. So the question is, when to put it to work when the reward is significant enough? And when the scales tip in the favor of reward, that's when you take a shot down the field. And that's what we were doing in the marijuana stocks in the middle of August. And so what I'm going to do on this show every day is share with you information coming directly out of our algorithms where the reward potential is worth the risk we're taking. And then, of course, there'll be other market environments where I'll be sharing the idea that it's time to hold a lot of cash because the reward's not even close to the amount of risk that's being taken. And it's better to hold cash. It's just we're not in that market right now. It doesn't matter what news you're hearing. It just doesn't make a difference what the news stories are. Bad news always piles up as the market goes higher. And the funny thing is, good news keeps piling up as the market's cratering. Happens all the time. Got to get away from that. Got to get away from the fear-greed response and start using the reward versus risk execution response. All right, so those are some of the examples. Let me hop into what we see on the trading desk right now. Well, you know what? Before I get to that, let's just get back to the Bitcoin versus blockchain, because I promised I'd talk about it a bit. I have a lot of investors asking me this question, and I have for the last month or so. So I thought I'd just share with you a timely idea. First of all, I've been doing a lot of research in the space. Our research department's been banging away at whether or not we want to own cryptocurrencies or we want to own companies that are involved in cryptocurrency mining, or if we want to focus our investment strategy on blockchain, which is the foundation of cryptocurrencies. And without a doubt, we want to focus our energy on blockchain because we feel the reward can be fantastic if you find the right companies that are developing this new technology. And the risk is not that great. It's exactly flipped on its head if you look at Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. I use Bitcoin as kind of a, you know, the way you would use the word Kleenex for a tissue, right? So any cryptocurrency, I couldn't begin to tell you fundamentally what's going to happen next in that space. Nobody can. Look at what's going on in the price of Ether. Who would have ever thought that was going to crater to the extent that it's cratering? But none of that has anything to do with the value of blockchain. Blockchain is revolutionizing a whole bunch of businesses. And so we have been on our trading desk focusing, and you can grab a pen, a piece of paper, and write this down. This is the piece of information on the show that you might want to remember. We've been focusing our attention on IBM. IBM is at the forefront of the blockchain revolution. And as more and more dollars are being spent on building out blockchains, fundamentally, we believe IBM is going to be a big beneficiary of that. Now, the company is in the process of a major turnaround and has been for a long time. Ideally, you would have been buying IBM with us I'm just going to pull this up on my trading screen right now. Over the last month or so, we've been building this position. The company pays better than a 4% dividend yield. It's buying back stock. And we bought our last entry point into IBM was on the 16th of August at a price of $145.44. So the stock's $151 right now, completing a classic double bottom on a large scale. Paying out a 4% yield, doing a stock buyback, very stockholder friendly, in the process of a turnaround that nobody on Wall Street believes. But we think that turnaround's happening. We think it's going along, even though it takes time to turn a huge ship like this. But we think there's the added kicker of the blockchain revolution that this company is going to be at the forefront of, and is right now. And so we use our algorithm to get us in the middle of, you know, August. We're collecting that dividend. So our reward is good. And our risk is minimal. Now, our reward could be great as the blockchain spend gets underway in 2019, 2020. And this is the company that benefits in a major way. We think it's going to be a big driver of growth for IBM. So, you know, for those of you who love trying to make a quick buck on a Bitcoin type idea, we just don't do that on our trading desk. We protect capital first and capture upside second. And we capture a lot of upside in the cannabis stocks. So we're happy to take an aggressive position in an aggressive idea like the marijuana stocks when the algorithm syncs up with the fundamental approach. But there is no fundamental approach to cryptocurrencies. And so that's just not a place we're going to play. But we will focus on blockchain stocks. And I'll share with you in the future other blockchain stocks that we think are, you know, are worth paying attention to. So keep your eye on IBM and, you know, you may look for a pullback in here. It's run a little bit since we got involved, but I think there's a lot of upside in the stock. So let's go to, you know, what's on our trading desk right now, instead of things that occurred back in August. What's happening right now on the trading desk? And I tweeted out yesterday, and so you can follow me on Twitter, the Armor Report on Twitter, and it's at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal, R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L. You can also follow all of our tweets on our website, rosenthalcapital.com. Scroll to the bottom, you'll see all of our tweets. So I put out tweets periodically when I think there's something important happening, when we have the right reward versus risk set up on our algos. And yesterday I highlighted a couple of names. We've gotten long the Chinese stocks. KWEB is the ETF we're using there. KWEB, we did that a couple days ago at $48. Stock's trading at $50 right now. The reward's enormous if there's any type of resolution when it comes to trading with the U.S. Enormous. And the risk is minimal. You know, the risk is already out there fundamentally. Looks like the whole asset group has been destroyed, and we're getting the right reward, the risk entry point. And we'll cut our loss if we're wrong. Look, everything we do, this is not about ego. This is about making money. If the setup is no good, you got to cut your loss immediately. You have to stay with your successful investments as long as possible, and you have to cut your losers immediately. So when I give you information directly off our trading desk of things that we're doing, please know that we have stops in on all these positions. And you got to figure out your own stops. I mean, we have our own secret sauce, and it's built into the algorithm, and it's different for every asset. It's dynamic. The algorithms are not static. But you can come up with your own stop losses, what you're willing to accept, and do that with any investment you take in the stock market. Don't fall into that age-old practice of riding your losers down and cutting your winners quick. You'll get nowhere doing that in the stock market, and your net worth won't go anywhere. No, certainly won't go anywhere in a positive way. It'll go the wrong direction, okay? So we're long KWEB this week. We're also long the semiconductor stocks. We haven't done that in a while, so SOX is the index, S-O-X-X. That's our favorite. I mean, I'm going to share with you favorites. You can play it any way you want. I mean, SMH is another ETF you can use, but we like SOX, S-O-X-X. And we're also long, again, the biotech group, IBB, Indian Bravo Bravo. Now, I've got my eye on, if you look at our website and you look at our real-time monitor, the only index that we're not long right now is the small cap index. We booked a nice profit in the small cap from our last cycle. Small caps have been coming down as the Dow has been blowing out to new highs. And we own Dow-related stocks in the portfolio. Caterpillar is one of our big positions. It's having a really big week, which is really interesting. So here we go. Our algorithms are telling us this week to be long companies that benefit from a reconciliation between the U.S. and China. And yet the news stories right now are overwhelmingly negative that we're in the midst of a trade war. Yet we have an explosive move higher in Caterpillar, which has sold off aggressively in the last couple months because of trade war concerns. We pay 144.72. Caterpillar is at 156.87, and that's in less than a week. And it's a blowout for a big stock like that. We're long KWEB, 48, stocks 50. That was just 2 days ago. Here's another one that I think is interesting. PNQI, another ETF. Papa, November, Queen, Indian, PNQI. It's got a lot of big cap U.S. FANG type of stocks in it, but with a kicker of some of these Chinese companies that have been destroyed. So I think it's a better way to play the big cap FANG names than buying FDN, which is everyone's favorite. Okay, so we're not long small caps, but we're looking at it right now. I'm guessing by the end of today, we're still not going to be long. We'll see what happens. I'll let you know on Monday. So I will wrap up with, just some thoughts. Always remember that on this show, we're talking about reward versus risk. We're not guaranteeing success. We're not guaranteeing upside. There will be some downside trades. We're going to have to cut our losses. It happens all the time. But what we're trying to do is get on the right side of risk versus reward. When we think the reward's big enough, we're willing to take the risk. Okay? What I'm going to focus on Monday, along with all the other catch-up we'll do based on news stories, is we're going to focus on whether or not the marijuana stocks are the new Bitcoin. This is the story I'm hearing about in the last couple of days. Oh, cannabis stocks are just like Bitcoin. It's the new Bitcoin. Okay, we're going to address that very question. And I'm going to give you a little hint. They are not the new Bitcoin. Okay, and I'm going to share with you why they're not the new Bitcoin and how important this sector is going to be over the next year to 3 to 5 years. And I'll share with you some of our thoughts on the trading desk of, how we're going to address the investment opportunity along with our investment in MJ, which, by the way, we're still long. All right, you all have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you on Monday.